It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by
Gordon Ranch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
Even though the Rockets season didn't end the way that many of us would have hoped, it is now officially over the 2019-2020 campaign, as the Rockets have been ousted by the Los Angeles Lakers 4-1 in a very thorough thumping, 119-96 in Game 5. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10. That's 10 bucks off your very next order at BuiltBar.com. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show at Locked On Rockets, and also the blog at ClutchCityCR. Now, as mentioned already, Rockets season is regrettably over, and there's already a bit of change afoot with Mike D'Antoni reporting that he will not be back as the Rockets head coach, choosing to take his talents elsewhere, more than likely the Indiana Pacers or the Philadelphia 76ers. And look, for all of the qualms that myself and others have had with Mike D'Antoni throughout his tenure as the Rockets head coach, I think it's important to recognize now, as this era of Houston Rockets basketball is over and the Rockets and Mike D'Antoni are now parting ways, I think it's important to recognize just how much he did accomplish as a Houston Rockets head coach. So much so that I thoroughly believe that when people look back at him, you know, until he made his way to the Rockets, people thought of him as just the Phoenix Suns head coach, right? His other coaching stints, with the Lakers and with the Knicks were kind of the black marks on his resume. And now I hope that others, you know, years from now, when they look back, will think of Mike D'Antoni as a Suns and Rockets coach. I think his 4 years here were that impactful. And you just look down the list of what he was able to accomplish in his 4 years here. He is the first in regular season win percentage, the second in regular season wins, second in playoff wins, second in playoff win percentage in franchise history, all those categories. And then you also think of what his teams and his players were able to accomplish here in Houston, winning at least one series, one round every year in the playoffs. I know that this last year was a bit disappointing with OKC to 7 games and then out in five against the Lakers, but being competitive in the playoffs, getting James Harden to his first MVP award, kind of elevating James Harden's play by giving him the blueprint to succeed in a spaced out offense, getting him a legitimate, you know, placing guys next to him in the rotations to accentuate his strengths, and, you know, creating, you know, getting Eric Gordon off the bench, convincing him, hey, this is the role that we need for you, and, you know, creating a sixth man of the year in Eric Gordon. Just all the things that he did and coming up so close, the closest the Rockets have ever been since their back-to-back titles in the mid-90s, closest they've ever been to getting to the promised land, to bringing back a championship to the great city of Houston. And to Mike D'Antoni, to his 4 years here in Houston, and also all the work that he and his wife Laurel did in the community. They were so impactful. They were Houstonians through and through in their 4 years here, constantly doing community service, constantly, you know, doing right by the city. Really, they embraced the city, the community, the fans, the players. They were incredible people. And so to have had the chance in my first year at Locked On Rockets to have the chance to cover Mike D'Antoni as a coach and, you know, have the chance to, you know, see his media availability and just how candid he was with media members, and, you know, having a head coach like that is really cool from a coverage standpoint as I'm talking about the team on a daily basis. So I just, you know, want everybody to take a moment to appreciate what Mike D'Antoni brought to this organization. He is an all-time great coach, and it's just unfortunate that he and the Rockets were not able to really punch it home back in 2018. Obviously, we've said it a lot, but a hamstring away from a championship, and I thoroughly feel that, and will never, nobody's ever going to take that feeling away from myself, from you, from anybody here in Houston, that the Rockets were that close to a championship that year with Mike D'Antoni. And again, I thank him for his time here in Houston, but it was the best move for both parties to move on and to hopefully bring in a coach that can get the most out of this system, this group of players, the duo of James Harden and Russell Westbrook moving forward for at least a couple more years, because I do not buy into the idea that this team needs to be blown up and that it needs to be reconstructed immediately. We will touch on that in segment two, as well as we will do a preliminary look at some potential head coaches in segment three. But first, I just want to say thank you to you listening right now. I would like to say thank you, because it's funny that I'm recording this Sunday evening, September 13th, 2020, because September 13th, 2019, I did my very first episode for Locked on Rockets as a guest with the former host, Ben DuBose, you know, excellent, you know, our personal analyst, podfather himself, Ben DuBose. And it's kind of interesting that the Rockets season would end this way, you know, right here on this date, almost exactly a year later after, you know, doing my first appearance on LOR, and then a couple short weeks later taking over the show as its second ever host. And I just want to say thank you. Whether you have listened, whether you've interacted with me on social media, whether you've written a review, whether you've shared the podcast, if you've participated in this medium with me in any capacity, thank you. I do this show 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week during the season, which means I'm with you for 2.5 hours. And that is I take so much, I don't want to say pleasure. Sorry, I'm kind of talking from the heart here. But it's an honor, let me put it that way, that I get to spend 2.5 hours a week with you talking Rockets and doing this and sharing thoughts and feelings and analysis and speculation about the team. And trust me, there's going to be a lot of speculation and rumors and stuff that we're going to be breaking down here in the coming days and weeks and, you know, maybe months, depending on how long the head coaching search takes. But I really treasure this opportunity, and it's been a wonderful year. I'm not going anywhere. I just want to say again, thank you. For if you listened to the show while Ben was the host and then you stuck with it after I took over, or whether you've known me as the show's only voice, either way, I sincerely appreciate your listening. I always sign it off that way, but I want you to know that it comes from the bottom of my heart that this show means a lot to me, and being able to be the voice of Locked on Rockets for the greatest fans in the world. Red Nation is, you know, such a strong community on social media, just the brother and sisterhood that we all share, it's great. And so I have loved this opportunity, and I look forward to covering this offseason and getting ready to cover next season and whatever else this team, this fandom has in store for us. We're in this ride together, and I wouldn't want it any other way. So with that, I do just kind of want to say again, thank you. I'm starting to ramble now, so I'm just going to cut this first segment, and we will talk in the second segment about the Rockets' assets and kind of a brief offseason overview of what their roster looks like, contracts, things like that. And then in the third segment, we're going to run through some head coaching names, and we'll get there in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually, guys just brush it off, or they blame themselves, saying things like they lost their mojo, or they just completely avoid the problem altogether with excuses like having a long day at work or, sorry honey, I'm just not feeling it tonight. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it out to you with free 2-day shipping. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/lockedonmba and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. And we're back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. And we are going to talk very briefly about James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and can this duo work? I think that they can. And I don't want to see this team blow it up. And that's not just coming from a place of like blind Rockets homerist optimism, right? Russell Westbrook was playing some of the best basketball of his career over a 2.5 month stretch before the season was suspended. And there were a lot of variables that were thrown into the season, COVID, the bubble, all this stuff that was not accounted for. And I still think that had the Rockets' flow and rhythm not been disrupted by the COVID hiatus and all that, Russell Westbrook would have carried that incredible play all the way into and through the postseason. There wouldn't have been, you know, he wouldn't have dealt with the after effects of having, you know, COVID-19. He wouldn't have dealt with the quad injury more than likely. So all of that happened, and that doesn't make an excuse, right? I'm not making excuses for Russ. I'm just as frustrated as the next guy with some of his really, you know, low games. I talked about on social media about Russ's ceiling being really high, but his floor being just really disgustingly low at times. But he was so consistently good for 2.5 months. I don't think that was a fluke. That was him really finding his way to succeed in this Rocket system. And I think that can be replicated with a new coach in a system that prides itself on more action off ball, more, you know, an offensive scheme that isn't just give the ball to Russ and Harden and get out of the way, right? And so I'd like to see this duo continue to be together. I don't think it's worth it to blow anything up. I don't think, you know, anybody who's saying trade Russ, trade Harden, I don't think that's the answer. Right? And the Rockets actually have a perfect timeline in place where if they did, basically they can run it back 2 more years. They've got next season and the season after that before James and Russ both have an option to opt out of that final season of their contracts. And so this could be a situation where it's like, okay, they're going to run it back 2 more years. 2 more years with Russ and James and whatever other pieces, whatever head coach gets brought in, that's how they run it back for 2 more seasons. And then after those 2 seasons, if there's not a significant push, if they haven't won a title, if they haven't made a really hard push at a, you know, a Western Conference Finals appearance or a Finals appearance, right? If the cards are not there, if it's not in the cards, then they can opt out. And the two of them can sign wherever they want to go. They can go together, they can go their separate ways, whatever, or they could potentially even opt in and be a trade chip. You know, kind of give them the Kevin Garnett treatment. Just be like, hey, where do you want to go? We want to do right by you. You know, James, we want to do right by you. Russ, we want to do right by you. Where do you guys want to get shipped off to? We'll get a little bit of assets back and kind of help us with a rebuild. And then you have a chance to go and compete somewhere else that has a legitimate shot at a title. So that's the opportunity there, because the Rockets actually own their 2022 and 2023 first round draft picks. Those were not included in the Oklahoma City deal. So if the Rockets actually wind up having to tank away a couple seasons there at the start of a rebuild, they're going to have those draft picks. And then there's certain protections on the picks that they dealt to OKC, where if the Rockets are actually bad enough, those picks won't convert to OKC. The Rockets have some kind of like tank protection on their picks where they will actually receive their picks back, and the Thunder won't actually be able to get a pick swap per se. So of the pick swaps that were sent to the Thunder. So I won't get into the specifics there, but looking at this lineup, looking at this roster and who is leaving, the Rockets have 9 players under contract for next season. The David Nwaba team option is absolutely going to get picked up. And then Austin Rivers is the only other option on the team. And currently it's a player option. And Austin honestly did not have a really great end of season or a really great postseason at all. He had the 41-point explosion during the seeding games. But apart from that, just not a great, you know, not a great showing by him. So I'm not sure if Rivers opts out, I'm not sure what kind of other money he's going to get on the open market currently. So I could legitimately see Austin Rivers opting back in to have 1 more season to kind of prove himself, to kind of play into his next big contract. But that one's kind of an iffy situation. So that one's up in the air. But the Rockets have Westbrook, Harden, Gordon, Covington, Tucker, and House all locked down on contracts. Tyson Chandler and Tabo Cephalosha are both probably done for. Bruno, maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't. Damari Carroll is definitely gone. The one guy out of all the players that are, you know, whose contracts are actually up, the one guy that I want to see return is Jeff Green. I think that the Rockets can easily get Jeff Green back on probably a minimum or a vet minimum deal. And then the next season, if he's able to produce consistently throughout another season, I think that the following season, you could look at locking him in for a 2 or potentially 3 year deal, as long as it doesn't infringe upon the over 38 rule, which we actually saw issues with before, back when the Rockets were trying to sign Nene to a 3 year contract. So Jeff Green's a guy that I definitely want to see back in a Rockets jersey next season. And I think legitimately a vet minimum contract probably gets that deal done. But outside of those guys, the Rockets have a couple more exceptions to play around with. They have the non-taxpayer MLE, which is going to be about $9.3 million to spend. And then they also have the biannual exception, which is about $3.6 million, I believe. So they've got a couple exceptions, a couple options to try and bring in some guys. They're going to have to do a little bit of cap maneuvering to make sure that they stay under the luxury tax line. If they choose to use the non-taxpayer MLE on a impact player this summer, you know, a potential, you know, I know Jeremy Grant has been a guy that we've talked about here before, you know, a guy who kind of fits this system. Now, depending on what all goes on with the Denver Nuggets, you know, there's a possibility that Grant would actually very much like to stay in Denver or opt out and try and get more money than just the non-taxpayer MLE from another team, because he has had one hell of a season playing for Denver. But there's lots of options out there, and we're going to dig into them. But I just wanted to kind of, again, run through the guys who are on staff, who are ready to go, locked in for next season. They're not going anywhere. Austin Rivers being the only guy who's kind of up in the air right now. And we'll be focusing on trade targets and potential free agency signings and all that in the coming days and weeks here at Locked On. So don't think this is just a very preliminary kind of look at what all goes on there. Coming up, I do want to talk about the head coaching situation, because that's the big thing going on. That's the one that's probably at the forefront of everybody's mind. And we'll get there in just a quick moment after a word from our friends over at Built Bar. When's the last time you were excited about a protein bar? I want to change that. I want you to be excited about protein bars again, or for the first time, if never. And you can do that with Built Bar. They've got so many amazing flavors: coconut almond, raspberry, peanut butter, double chocolate mousse, my personal favorite. Some of their newer ones: cookies and cream, carrot cake. Do these sound interesting to you? Do these sound like good protein bar flavors? Then check them out. And here's the best part, right? The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They basically are like candy bars jam-packed with protein. They're soft, they're easy to chew. They are absolutely great for the health-conscious guy. And whether you're trying to lose weight or even just maintain weight, look, they're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. All the good stuff, very little of the bad stuff. I'm telling you, they are jam-packed 16 to 19 grams of protein in each and every bar. And right now, you can go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and get $10. That's $10 off your very next order. So remember, use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So for this final segment, we're going to run through some of the names that have been kind of linked to the Rockets, and just some general names out there in the coaching landscape. And I will shout out Jonathan Fagan, who already did kind of the research in this front. So I'm actually just kind of going to kind of parse through this article, because he did a really great job piecing together some of these candidates. And in the coming days and weeks, we're going to highlight, you know, spend some time talking about each one of these guys and women, and, you know, some potential, you know, where they could succeed, where the Rockets, you know, would want them, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, how they would improve this team in the areas where potentially Mike D'Antoni kind of, you know, fell short a little bit. So with that, let's just dive right into this list. We're going to start with the hottest names out there. So some of the names that are really tied to the Rockets, and some reports have already surfaced about them. So the very first guy on the list, Tyronn Lue. assistant coach on the Clippers. So he's one of the league's most coveted assistants, has a championship as a head coach when he was over there with the Cavaliers and LeBron James. He's going to probably be a little expensive. So, but he's got experience demanding with top tier talent type players and still being able to kind of, you know, maintain those relationships with those players while getting the best out of them. David Fizdale, another free agent, former Grizzlies and Knicks head coach. Jacques Vaughn with the Nets. Vaughn is a name that's kind of popped up a little bit. He is still signed on right now to be Steve Nash's assistant. However, he's a guy that the Rockets may potentially take a look at. Then we've got some familiar faces in Jeff Van Gundy, a guy who a lot of Rockets fans were highly clamoring for, saying that they would love the return of Jeff Van Gundy. And he is a guy who, you know, was very much close to being hired by Daryl back when they hired Mike D'Antoni in 2016 in the first place. So JVG has links to the organization. He still lives in Houston, still, you know, claims the Texans whenever he's on the ESPN broadcasts, you know, talks about his Texans. So it would be cool to see him return and kind of bring that defensive mindset to the Houston Rockets. Kenny Atkinson is an interesting name. And, you know, he has some ties to the Rockets organization, you know, former Nets head coach, and he kind of fits the ideology of the Rockets. And he was kind of converting Brooklyn into that same, you know, Maury Ball style of basketball play. So he would be another guy who lines up philosophically with what the front office is trying to accomplish. Now, that may or may not be an issue because obviously some of the philosophy of the Houston Rockets style of play is at, you know, kind of in question. So maybe he would be able to come in and maybe he and Daryl Morey would be able to work on something that is a bit more, you know, kind of involves the other side, you know, other areas of the court rather than just the whole three-pointers, layups, and dunks aspect of the game. Mark Jackson, JVG's ESPN broadcasting buddy. So brief Warrior, you know, Warriors coach, you know, brief stint as a Rockets point guard. Mark Jackson is a big name, but it kind of feels like Mark Jackson is tied to like every head coaching vacancy ever in the history of the entire NBA. Every summer it happens and it's like, oh, Mark Jackson would be a good head coach. And it's like, well, he's tied to the rumors every summer and it hasn't quite panned out yet. Here's a fan favorite and kind of, for me at least, almost my leading candidate because it just seems a little too good to be true, but Sam Cassell, assistant coach for the Clippers and, you know, back-to-back champion with the Houston Rockets from back in the 90s, and this would be his chance at his first chance at a head coaching position. It'd be for his former team, and he's really worked hard under Doc Rivers as an assistant coach with the Clippers. He would bring back some of that nostalgia from the mid-90s championship teams. He's a smart guy. He was a great basketball player, kind of one of those cerebral players who really just understood the game, and I have no doubt that he would excel in a head coaching role. Now, whether it's going to be with the Rockets, that remains to be seen, but he's an interesting candidate. Chris Finch, who is currently an assistant coach with the New Orleans Pelicans, you know, he spent some time with the Rockets as the head coach of the Vipers, their G League team, would be a great fit if they decide to continue running small ball, or, you know, because right now it's kind of up in the air if they decide they want to keep the small ball thing around or if they would like to throw that MLE money at potentially a traditional big or potentially a five out big, somebody who can still space the floor offensively for James Harden and Russell Westbrook, but at the same time defensively, you know, help kind of secure the paint and anchor the defense a bit more rather than having to rely on PJ Tucker as your starting five for the entirety of next season. So that one kind of remains, you know, an interesting decision moving forward to see, you know, stylistically where they take the roster. I'm imagining that the head coaching search needs to be completed before the Rockets start making potential roster moves, because that's going to be tough if you bring in a head coach and he hasn't been able to have any say in the players, the direction of the organization and the lineups that he or she is going to have to trot out at the start of next season. Now, really quickly, we're going to go through some of the potential top assistants out there. So Rex Kalamian for the Clippers, interesting guy. Steven Silas with the Mavericks is a really strong name. Somebody who was also a finalist when the Rockets actually hired Mike D'Antoni back in 2016. And he has continued to buff up his resume while he's been with Rick Carlisle in Dallas with the Mavericks. So that's an interesting guy. Darvin Ham with the Milwaukee Bucks. Top assistant under Budenholzer and a former Texas Tech center. Definitely would be interesting in an assistant coach role. Adrian Griffin for the Raptors, Ime Udoka for the 76ers, Jamal Mosley, again, another Mavericks assistant coach, who has, you know, basically taken over the Mavericks defense. So this could be an area where, you know, potentially, you know, bringing in a new style of defense, maybe kind of diverting away from that switch everything scheme that the Rockets have done for years. That's going to be an interesting dilemma, an interesting way that the new coach, whoever it is, comes in. Will the switching scheme stay? Will they institute a new defense? Will we see more traditional defense out of the Rockets players next year after it's been so ingrained over the last four seasons, this switch everything defense? That's going to be an interesting element of next year. David Vanderpool of the Timberwolves, Becky Hammon from the Spurs is a name. She has made waves for herself, and many think that she is going to be the first female head coach of the, you know, in the entire NBA of the Spurs, more than likely, when Greg Popovich actually retires. So that's going to be an interesting scenario to see that play out. Wes Unsled Jr. with the Nuggets. And then here's my complete dark horse head coaching prayer, and I will leave you with this, because this is more tinfoil hat conspiracy than anything, right? If Greg Popovich were to leave the San Antonio Spurs, there's not a single other team in the NBA that is as ready-made of a contender as the Rockets are. If Greg Popovich were to leave the Spurs but wanted to leave that rebuilding situation in San Antonio and wanted to give it, you know, two, maybe three more years to compete for a couple more titles, what other situation would be better than the Houston Rockets? One, he's right down the street, literally just a few hours drive away from San Antonio. So it's not like he would be completely uprooting his life. He'd still be able to probably visit family and spend time with them and that kind of thing back home. So there's that. On top of that, his relationship with James Harden is well documented. The two really, really have a great rapport with each other. And the idea of a James Harden-led, Greg Popovich-coached team, in a way, you almost think of Greg Popovich as a potential third star in that lineup with Harden, Russ, and then Popovich. That's the impact that he has as a coach. There's very few coaches out there that you would consider almost as necessary to a team as a star player, but Popovich is absolutely one of them. And look, I know it's the Spurs, and I know we're supposed to hate them, just like the Mavericks, just like the Jazz, but if Popovich wanted to come to Houston to have a chance to coach James Harden and Russell Westbrook and just give it a couple years, two, 3 years to try and win a chip with those guys, I would absolutely welcome it. That is what I'm going to leave you with. That is my dark horse, very slim chance of happening for the Houston Rockets situation, for their head coaching situation. It's going to be interesting, and we're going to have it all covered for you right here at Locked On Rockets. So, as always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.